know that Everton is not going to go into Crystal Palace and shut them out.
The chances of somebody else getting a clean sheet for another team are greater than Baines getting an assist. That's my opinion.
I like that too.
I don't like these facts getting in the way of my argument, guys. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your host, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, the Game Week 23 edition. I am your host, as always, Mike Gottlieb, and with me, as always, is Andrew Laird and an extra special guest. We've promised him for 22 weeks or possibly more, but it is our third ranker on RotoWire.com. It is Chris Mozinski. Chris, welcome to the podcast. Introduce yourselves to everybody.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on here. I finally pulled my head out of the sand for this one.
Yeah, and we all participate in a fantasy soccer league together, and would you care to pronounce it phonetically correctly? Because apparently I could not do that last week.
It's EFSA.
Gotcha.
I-E-F-S-A, yes, EFSA.
And could you tell everyone a little bit about that league for those who may not know what it is?
So the league is basically a head-to-head dynasty league comprised of writers from all across the globe who do fantasy soccer articles or fantasy soccer talk shows, basically competing head-to-head for charity.
And where can they find out news about this league?
They can follow us on Twitter at the EFSA with an underscore between the and EFSA, and also at www.theefsa.com.
Perfect. And it's a great league so far, very entertaining. I didn't happen to catch the draft this year, but I will be there next year for sure. I was the latest addition of everybody, so I'm actually pretty stoked about my team because I have starlets like Kieran Trippier and Yannick Bolasie, who you've heard me talk about on the show repeatedly for all you listeners out there. But let's get right to the games for game week 23. There is a wake-up game on Saturday, January 31st. It is Hull City at home against Newcastle. Oh, what a snorgasm this game is. So, Andrew, we'll start with you here. Newcastle has been a little bit sputtering since Pardew's departure. What do you see as a potential option here against the vulnerable Hull City?
I think we all just sleep late and pretend this game didn't happen. The problem that they have is that Papi Cisse is clearly their best player now. You can make the argument for somebody like Daryl Janmaat. I actually like him this week because, I don't know, I had listened to a previous podcast of two idiots who kept talking about how great Hull City was earlier this year, but they've struggled a bit, and so, you know,
a bit is putting it a little like
right. So Hull haven't scored in four of their last six matches at all, which isn't a particularly good streak. They scored three times at Sunderland, and they scored twice home against Everton. And I'm not sure, you know, there's any reason for us to believe that they're going to break out in any meaningful way this weekend, especially with Jelovic and Hernandez out. So, you know, you look at the options at Newcastle who are there. Johan Gufron scored last week. Theoretically, Janmaat could do it. Jack Colback, Ayoze Perez. I mean, they kind of spread.
Cabella?
I'm still not sold on Cabella. I think mostly because I jumped on him so strongly at the beginning of the season. He was basically awful until, I guess, recently, though. He still hasn't had any goals or assists, which is really where you get most of your points. So, you know, there's a lot of question marks in this game, so I'm probably just going to stay away from it, even from the defensive standpoint.
And Chris, what about you? You've talked about, you know, Sim De Jong even on Twitter recently. What do you feel about Newcastle's chances here?
Yeah, I mean, I think CM De Jong's still maybe a week or two away, but I'm still pretty hopeful for Remy Cabello this week, just because the last 2 weeks he's been back in the starting 11 and he's led the team in shots and assisted shots. And granted, they didn't really lead to anything, but that was against Chelsea and Southampton, which are probably the two best defenses in the league. Hull City does not match up with them, so I got my eye on Cabella this week.
Oh, perfect. And yeah, and just for reference here, I did rank Daryl Janmaat, and actually, was I the only one? I believe
I did too.
Oh, yes, you did too.
Higher than you, in fact.
Yes, 9th and 10th, respectively. But that might be a name to look out for as far as a fantasy option, because Hull, even at home, they're not scoring a ton. So, you know, if you're going to pick one, I would pick Daryl Janmaat because he also gets forward. But other than that, I would stay asleep and potentially go into the 10 o'clock games. And we'll start with another snoring game here at Sunderland here. So at the stadium of, yeah, they call it the Stadium of Light.
Yep.
It's Sunderland at home against Burnley. Burnley, actually, who can't stop scoring, or who cannot stop scoring recently. So there's definitely more life at Turf Moor and also when they're away. So, Chris, do you feel that Danny Ings, the leader of the attack, is a sustainable option going forward? And would you be comfortable using him against Sunderland, who've had, you know, at home they play better like every team, but it's particularly Sunderland?
Yeah, I mean, Danny Ings, he's on fire, right? I mean, was it Tottenham wants to get him? There's a lot of interest in him, and he's clearly trying to drive that price up for people. But this game just screams nothing to me. Two teams that don't want to lose a point so close to the drop zone. I find it hard to find a score other than maybe a Defoe goal for the home team.
Ooh, a Jermaine Defoe reference. Both me and Andrew did not particularly like that signing for either party. And it just was, and actually, we'll get your opinion here. Was it a better move for Josie or for Jermaine Defoe?
Could I say both? I mean, Defoe's clearly their best option up front nowadays. They really had nothing going into it. So getting rid of Josie and replacing with someone who might actually play was a win for Sunderland. And Josie getting some playing time in the States or Canada is a win for him as well.
Yeah. All right. So, Andrew, do you agree that this is 0-0?
No, I'm all over Danny Ings and Kieran Trippier. I love how...
Well, Kieran Trippier would be good in the 0-0 situation too. But
yeah, I like him offensively. Correct. I'll take him. I'll have him throw a ball into Danny Ings. I've been doing some match previews, and Mike, we discussed it a little bit before the podcast about just how many crosses Kieran Trippier throws in.
So let's have Chris try to take a guess at it. In the last six games, how many crosses, was it successful or just attempted?
Just attempted. So attempted. How many open play crosses?
Open play crosses, do you feel that Kieran Trippier has attempted?
We talking per game or total?
Total in the last six games, yeah.
10.
37.
No way.
And the next highest is George Boyd with 5. I mean, it's just an astonishing number that Trippier is just throwing balls in literally all the time. Seems like every time he touches the ball, it's either a corner or an open play cross.
Oh, yeah, well, it's open play. It's not a corner.
Right, but he also took 16 quarters in that span.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just throwing balls in left and right, and Ings is finishing them right now. I'm on both of those guys this week.
And would you be on any of the midfield options? Like George Boyd, who before last week was playing very well. Would you think of George Boyd or no? Or Adam Johnson on the Sunderland side, actually. For Adam Johnson, he leads them in scoring for Sunderland. But would you feel that there's either option there?
I actually ranked Johnson this week, so I clearly do.
All right. And on the fear of talking too much about this matchup here, Chris, do you feel that Adam Johnson would be a good value prop at the midfield spot?
No, like I said, I just see this game being very low scoring. I don't like chances of someone when I don't think they're going to score more than a half a goal or one goal.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to, oh my goodness, we just cannot get a good game on the schedule yet.
They're just terrible.
Stoke City at home against QPR. It's the Charlie Austin show and nobody else. There was a breaking injury news from last night. Andrew, why don't you tell me about it?
Yeah, Boyan out for the season with a torn ACL. Just a really tough hit for Stoke because they kind of struggle to find an offensive spark. He was it and no mas.
Yeah. Oh, you see, because he's from Spain. I see what you did there. You know, I'm not the best in the business for nothing, guys.
That's right.
Charlie Austin, are you a big believer in him this week, even though it's on the road? We've discussed it before. His home road splits are not very good. Chris, we'll go to you.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of QPR on the road. I agree with you. The home and road splits scare me a little bit. Stoke City's defense isn't really much to sniff at, but I think Stoke City's got their number in this one.
Yeah, Stoke, like every other team, they play much better at home, but... Andrew, do you feel like there are a lot of goals to be had here or no? I mean, Victor Moses returned.
Yeah, I'm struggling to see it from the QPR side. You know, Charlie Austin has scored 5 of their last 6 goals, and 3 of those 5 have come from the penalty spot. So he's not even really scoring a ton in open play, and 2 of them were back 6 weeks ago against West Brom when he had that hat trick. So QPR is really struggling to find goals. Stoke, we were talking earlier, both of us really like Boyan until the news came out that he was actually gone for the season. Mamadou Diouf is out, Peter Crouch, I don't mind. I think he's a decent option. And
I think it's astonishing that both you and Chris ranked Peter Crouch, and I did not.
Yeah, because you love him.
Really?
I am the Peter Crouch apologist. Yeah. So
what if I throw a name out to you guys like Marko Arnautović?
I mean, he takes set pieces. I like Marko Arnautović, but at the beginning of the year, he was on my fantasy Premier League team for PremierLeague.com. He's had more issues than just not scoring goals. He hasn't had a ton of playing time, and he hasn't been Mark Hughes' favorite player in the world. So that would be my caution towards him. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I kind of have the issue with Stoke overall that it's just hard to pin down where the goals are coming. But on the flip side, if we don't think QPR is going to score, then you got to look at guys like Ryan Shawcross.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a defensive option that I would go with, certainly.
Yeah, he plays good defense because no one can see him.
That's right.
No one sees him coming.
Or he's so ugly. Or what'd you say? He was so ugly no one wants to get near him.
He's so ugly that England doesn't even want to put him on the national team. And that's...
Plus, he's got that clean sheet chance this week, too. So that's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That another value possibility for everyone heading into the weekend. So let's go to the most lopsided matchup now of the weekend. Here we have Manchester United at home against Leicester City. Leicester, who I actually was the only one of our writers to pick to not get relegated, to avoid the drop. I think I was the only one who had them out of the bottom three. But Manchester at home against Leicester, they famously played – actually, that was QPR, never mind. But Manchester – right, was
no,
it?
You were right.
No, yep. It was Leicester, yeah.
Yeah, Leicester
won. 5-3 game from August, correct?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So I didn't make that up. All right, so – Manchester United at home, the revenge factor here against Leicester City. Do you see anything other than multiple goals to zero goals in favor of Manchester United? Andrew, we'll start with you.
No, I don't. Simple as that.
So you like every Manchester United option you can. So basically get the least expensive starter at defense, least expensive guy who may score on the offense. And actually, I'm going to go to Chris here because
– you don't have many. Least expensive is the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, least. I'm not saying they're cheap, but there is one that is the least expensive option. That's certainly a case here. But for the forwards that we have for the rankings this week, you have Chris has Robin Van Persie ranked second. I just want to see what your thought process is there.
Yeah, if he's healthy, they've been moving Rooney too far up. I think he's lost some control of the ball. He hasn't been getting the ball where he likes to get it, and his numbers have been down.
And are you? Do you have any feel for? Because I mean, you rank a lot. You've ranked Manchester United players high more than, let's say, Andrew or I have in the past. Do you have any feel in terms of Falcao or Rooney, returning to any kind of form that they've shown in the past?
It's tough. It's tough because I feel like for the rest of the season, it's going to be tough to pinpoint those guys week to week, right? The goals could come from any one of those three, depending on who plays and who's feeling the hot foot that week. I feel it from RVP this week. I think people are doubting him. He did not play last week, correct? He was out with injury. I think he's a little bit rested. Mm-hmm. Did he play midweek in the cup?
Right. Yes. Van Persie played against.
He played last weekend in the FA Cup. Right?
He played against. What's the lowest side?
Cambridge.
Yes, Cambridge United. He did play in that game.
Yeah, I look at him, and of the three options so far this or going into this game, I like him the best.
Yeah, I mean, Falcao, for me, he had a little bit of Fernando Torres-itis, recently, because that he had a cross that he just touches it, it goes in, and he didn't touch it. Maybe a case of the Josie, if you will. it all depends on your perspective. But, Andrew, who would be your top options? Would you be more comfortable with the offensive options or the defensive options?
Yeah, I think I'm now completely reevaluating my ranking thanks to Chris's explanation, because I wasn't really all that confident in Van Persie, but I think I kind of rank them with the hope that Van Hall will come to his senses and switch Di Maria and Rooney back to where they like to play. I'm not sure why he keeps pushing Di Maria up and Rooney back, but the other issue you have is that you're not quite sure who those back defensemen are. They've been playing essentially wing backs with Valencia midfielders. And so you don't get defensive points for that.
Yeah. The most valuable defenders aren't defense eligible
right.
for Manchester United.
Right. And so I'm not quite sure, you basically take your shot with Phil Jones or Marcos Rojo, or I think Smalling's out. So, you know, I'm probably not going to go the Johnny Evans route either, but no. He might be out also. Who knows? But, you know, there are just a lot of question marks. And in that respect, you're pretty much only playing for the clean sheet. Like, I have no confidence that any of those guys will score or even be involved in assist, because I think it comes from Valencia. I guess you could theoretically make the case for Luke Shaw, but I'm not sure he's going to get the start either. So there's a lot of question marks pretty much all over the place. But, you know, I feel like Rooney and Van Persie are at least a little more consistent.
Very fair. Very fair. We'll move on now to what I think is going to be, this is the game I'm going to watch at 10 o'clock. It's going to be Crystal Palace at home against Everton. By the way, I did say last week or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, that I was going to be watching Crystal Palace and Burnley, and that did not disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Palace are at home this week against Everton. Alan Pardew, say what you will, he's getting results, but man, that defense looks really bad. they are giving up goals to everybody, and it basically eliminates half the team in terms of your fantasy options, including an old favorite from last year, Julian Speroni. But what do you do with the midfielders now? I mean, are you firmly in on Jason Puncheon and nobody else? Like, because Wilfried Zaha, he has the talent, but he hasn't been getting the results that you're looking for. Would you feel comfortable with Zaha as well as Puncheon, or just Puncheon right now? And Chris, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I've been big on Puncheon since the beginning of the year. When they dropped him from the lineup, that kind of had me a little confused. I thought he was probably one of the best places for them to get some goals, or someone to set up some goals. But based upon between him and Zaha, I'd have to go Puncheon just based on results and proven track record over the last month or so. I think Zaha looks good, but looks good doesn't get you a goal. You have to get the goals or set up the goals in order to earn some fantasy points.
Yeah, and Andrew, are you a believer in Dwight Gayle, or are you just saying, are you just comfortable with Jason Puncheon from Palace point of view?
Yeah, I definitely like Puncheon. I begrudgingly included Gayle this week in the rankings. I just it feels a lot more like a flash in the pan than Pardew has found like the next great striker that. You know, I feel like we kind of know what Dwight Gayle is, but
what was interesting to me is that when they earned a penalty, it was Dwight Gayle that took it.
Yeah,
and converted it for as well. But
yeah, it looked like it was going to be Puncheon's job with Jednak and Bolasie gone. But yeah, there Gayle was, and then he scored two more the next week.
You do not want Yannick Bolasie taking penalties.
Yeah,
the guy can't score for the life of him. But
yeah.
Just so you guys know, since Dwight Gayle got back in the starting 11 the last 2 weeks, he's led the league in shots, second in shots on target.
It's crazy. Three goals and an assist, too.
And Everton's defense on the road.
Everton's defense anywhere is terrible.
I was just about to say that. They're agreed.
they were among the top, you know, this was weeks ago, like maybe a month ago even. We were discussing on the podcast that Everton at home have given up the most goals. Now, that's skewed by the six they gave up to Chelsea. But, you know, they all count. But yeah, Everton's defense everywhere. And also, they have the most mistakes defensively that have turned into goals. That is still true. It's just Everton's defense has been bad this year. There's no way around it. And I don't know how Roberto Martinez's, you know, luster has worn off, but it certainly has defensively. And Romelu Lukaku, guys, what do you do with Lukaku?
He's low to sell. I don't know that I would trust him at this point, though. I mean, Crystal Palace is, if you can't trust him against Crystal Palace, who do you trust him against? But I think there's better options out there, simply because Morales or Barkley are at this point just as good of a chance of getting a goal as he is.
Stephen Naismith.
Yeah.
when you count him out, that's when Stephen Naismith gets a goal. But Andrew, would you feel comfortable with Romelu Lukaku? Because you're probably in a weekly format, not going to get him for much lower than what you're probably going to get him now.
No, you know, I'm staying away. I'm looking at the guys that I'm happen to be looking at DraftKings right now. I'm looking at the guys that are in his range of Sato Berahino, Diafra Sakho, Enner Valencia. You know, I like those guys in Lukaku's range than I do him.
All right, let's not jump the shark too much. We'll wait for that for our daily dose at the end of the podcast here. But
do you not want to call me out on my choice on the Everton defense?
Oh, I was just getting there.
Okay.
I was saying, speaking of Everton defense, there's one player that, you know, you did not rank Andrew, and Chris, you gave him like a courtesy rank at second to last at 9th, and I ranked him first in Leighton Baines. I don't know if you know this, guys. He does have 8 assists or 9 assists even. He's closing in on double digit assists, and Crystal Palace defensively has been pretty bad.
Yeah, I when I look at defenders, assists and goals are second nature to me. It's got to be you got to get the clean sheet first, especially from that backside.
I just especially because well
the assistant giving up 3 goals does not give you the points.
We also all know now that there is no one else taking the penalty than Leighton Baines. Kevin Morales may not play again for Everton. I'm not even joking. There are rumors of him going to Italy already. So I mean, seriously, if you steal a penalty from Leighton Baines, you may get transferred out of Everton. So I mean, he definitely has the opportunity for me, and this is a good matchup. I can't see any downside to Leighton Baines.
The downside is that Everton gives up 4 goals.
Yeah, but he only after 1, it doesn't matter. Depending on the format.
Even worse, because you know they're giving 1 up. You know that Everton is not going to go into Crystal Palace and shut them out.
The chances of somebody else getting a clean sheet for another team are greater than Baines getting an assist. That's my opinion.
Oh, I like that too.
I don't like these facts getting in the way of my argument, guys. That's not how this podcast works. I don't know. We have Chris. You're a little new to this, but facts in getting in the way of my podcast never do well.
I appreciate that you think that he has offensive product, you know, upside, but you ranking him first essentially calls for a goal. At least a goal.
You know, fortune favors the bold, guys. I can pull out a cliche for anything. It's just that's just what I'm going to go with here. But anyway, I don't want to get too far, you know, into this because I'm on the losing side, so I definitely don't want to dwell on this one. So we'll move on to the next matchup here, and that is Liverpool at home against West Ham. Two teams that, as of late, I like in terms of their fantasy prospectus. I mean, I've been on West Ham for a very long time, but Liverpool recently have played really well. And I was watching the Capital One Cup game against Chelsea today where both teams, you know, played their real lineups. And man, that was an entertaining game. Mm-hmm. Even though it was 0-0 after 90 minutes, it was a very, very well played game with offense on either side. Heroic goalkeeping, good defending, good pressing play, good passing. It was just a great game of football to watch. And have Liverpool turn that corner where they're going to start to look like how they did last year. And I've talked to Andrew about this last week, but Chris, I want to get your opinions on this. Especially fantasy-wise, how do you think Liverpool's recent play spins into the fantasy realm?
I think it's been great for guys like Raheem Sterling and Philip Coutinho. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Sturridge comes back. There's a chance he plays this weekend, right?
Chance,
yeah. He's not even from his Chelsea days, he's not exactly a quick healer. So
that's very true. And you're probably right. He probably is closer to not playing than playing. But
they've already rushed him back once and it didn't work very well. So they're going to take their time this time.
Yeah, and I think Roger said he didn't want to rush him back. Right, yeah. He came out and said that.
Correct.
I think you're getting to see the future of what Liverpool hopes to be. Right, you're getting to see the Coutinhos and Sterling step up, and when you see Gerrard's go away, I think it's a tough matchup this week though against West Ham. I think going forward, they have a lot of promise, but this is do or die for West Ham, too, if they want to be in the top 4.
Yeah, and can the magic of Anfield propel them to actually get the result they're looking for, Andrew?
I'm not quite sure. We were talking earlier today. I was saying I'm just not sure who to target offensively.
Outside of Raheem Sterling?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, I suppose Sterling is the call, but the stat I had given you was that Liverpool had scored at least one goal in each of their last 6 games, but no player had scored in multiple games in that span. So they literally have somebody scoring all over the place.
And my retort is, are they trying to unlock specific players in each game, or is it just random? And I'll pose that question back to Chris. Do you feel that Liverpool are just getting equal opportunity scoring, or are they actually making concerned efforts, you feel, to exploit a matchup that they see? Is Brendan Rodgers trying to, overcomplicate things per se?
I'm guessing it's more equal opportunity scoring. I think it's more in the flow of the game. I don't know that they're really drawing up the chances for Coutinho or Sterling specifically. I think those guys are just finding spots and someone's finishing it at a random time is my guess.
Cool. All right. And on the West Ham side, there's two revenge candidates here. There is Andy Carroll and Stuart Downing, both former Liverpool players. Do you trust them this week? And I'll start with Andrew.
I certainly do. I pretty much would only sit those guys against Chelsea and maybe at Man City.
Not even Southampton?
I like that too.
All right.
Yep.
And Andrew, what about you? Oh, sorry, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I like all the attacking options, especially in daily formats. There's going to be a lot of shots in this game, guys. A lot.
Do these two teams give up a lot of shots traditionally? Is that what you're saying?
They have been. Plus, they fire. Both sides like to put the attack on the other team. So they'll be pushing both sides.
Yep.
Yeah, it should be a fun one.
Yeah, Liverpool tend to give up goals against, you know, set pieces. Anybody. And bigger guys. Well, yeah. Especially set pieces. And West Ham, outside of Chelsea, scored the most goals from set pieces. So and crosses, particularly. And that means Aaron Cresswell is a possibility now, too. Just throwing that out there for you guys as a defensive option for West Ham. Yeah. But are there any defensive options you trust in this game, including goaltenders?
Outside of Martin Skrtel? Yeah, I trust nobody. Okay. It's all offensive for me in this one.
Martin Skrtel, by the way, has a leg of steel, apparently, after Ivanovic stamped on it pretty good today.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Emery Chan? Sorry, Emery Chan.
No, it's Chan, yeah.
Yeah, Emery Chan has a leg of steel. That looked like it hurt.
Got Skrtel as well.
Yeah, not as badly. The first one, I think, was Chan, and it was pretty deliberate. I actually think that Ivanovic may get suspended retroactively. I would be shocked if he didn't, because it was pretty bad. And he also followed up with the second one. So that would be
You're
something.
You're just saying that because you want him to sit.
I ranked him. Actually, this would be the worst week to do it, because if Luis is hurt, then they got to play, you know.
Ramirez.
No, actually, that would be a dream come true.
Yeah, exactly.
If they put Ramirez on the right side.
Like I said, you're asking for it.
Now I am. Now I totally am. All right. And the last 10 o'clock game is West Brom at home against Tottenham. The unstoppable force of Harry Kane against the immovable object of Tony Pulis's defense. Andrew, which side wins in this instance?
I'm probably a little swayed on this one, but I like West Brom. I'll take some defensive options there, and I threw in Berahino, and I didn't particularly love the Spurs attack. You know, I ranked Eriksen and Kane just because you kind of have to at this point. Chadley's questionable after being away on bereavement leave, but I'm guessing he plays. But, you know, we've discussed previously, I like Eriksen better anyway.
That's certainly true. And Chris, what about you?
I'm big on Harry Kane in this one. The last six away matches for him, he's got 5 goals. He seems to get it done on the road, and I know West Brom looked good, but I think Tottenham's still a better side.
Yeah, Tottenham has the players, and have they adapted to Pochettino yet is my question. I really don't know. I don't know what that team's identity is. They just seem to be flapping around, and if it wasn't for Harry Kane, I don't know where this team would be. But
it looked pretty good recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially against Chelsea.
Yep.
But we'll find out. This will be a good game to test the steel of Tottenham, because you know Tony Pulis, his team never stops working hard. And if Tottenham can score against them, they can actually use that as some decent momentum. So we'll see what happens there. And would you rather have, Andrew, would you rather have Berahino or would you rather have Kane in this game?
I rank Berahino higher because he's not trying to score on Pulis.
All right. And Chris, would you rather have Andre Wisdom of West Brom or Danny Rose of Tottenham or Kyle Walker? I value those two the same.
Wow. I guess I already came out and said Kane's scoring, but I've got to go Danny Rose on that one.
All right. So we'll move on to the last game of Saturday, which is the big one. It is Chelsea at home against Man City. And in one word, both of you, Andrew first, is this game going to decide the title?
No.
Andrew?
No.
Chris?
No.
Perfect. All right. I'm sick of the overreaction of everyone saying this game is for the title, because it totally isn't.
It's January.
Exactly. Man City have come back from nearly double digits in the last month of the season. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that. Or Man United did, excuse me.
Well, they crowned Liverpool last year before they played City, right?
Yep. Yeah, and that Chelsea game, too. That didn't help.
Nope.
But fantasy-wise, I had a very tough time trying to project this game outside of, you know, Diego Costa and Sergio Aguero being, you know, top options. I think out of habit, I put down the Chelsea midfield options, but do you feel like there's going to be a lot of goals in this game, or is it going to be like the 1-1 affair that we had earlier in the season? And Chris, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I tend to think it's going to be a little bit disappointing from a, is anyone looking for a lot of goals? I still think Chelsea gets multiple, which would put some of their guys a little higher than others this week. But I think from the Man City side, I wouldn't be looking for too much outside of maybe an Aguero goal.
Yeah, so you're not starting Joe Hart this week?
Not at all.
Okay.
So, Mike, before he got hurt today, so that obviously changes things, but make the case for Fabregas being ranked higher than Oscar for this week based on recent play.
Based on recent play, there isn't. Okay. There isn't a good case. However, my allegiances are always for 1 week and 1 week only. And when I look at Chelsea play, Oscar is very opportunistic. But when you look at who has the ball most, it's Fabregas or Modric. And Fabregas is particularly the one who opens things up in the attacking third. And if you look at when they have those crisp passing plays, I would say over 75% of the time, conservatively, it's Fabregas who plays one of the key passes, if not the key pass for the assist for the goal. And I like I think he has more opportunity. I always stress opportunity. And right now, also with, you know, volatility, I feel like more people are going to choose Oscar than Fabregas. So in a weekly format, you know, if Fabregas has a really good game, there's not as many people that are going to get those points. So
flipping that then, if he sits, how does Chelsea line up?
Well, yeah, if he sits.
Not comparing him to Oscar anymore, but if he sits, how does Chelsea, who's in the 11?
If Sterla is still on the team, I had a feeling that he would be on the right and Willian would be in the middle.
Wow.
Or Oscar would be in the middle, excuse me. It would be Willian, Oscar, Hazard, and then they'd probably put Ramirez next to, they'd probably put Ramirez next to Matic. Mm-hmm. But if Ramirez has to play right back, like we discussed earlier, which would be a great idea, let me continue to throw that out there. I think Ramirez is one of the best right backs in the game if they actually put him there.
Would you play Ramirez this week if he plays? I mean, that's a low cost option, correct?
No, he's not a threat to score, and he's not going to get defense eligibility. So, no. Ramirez is great at two things. At being, you know, a physical presence for his size, particularly, and his speed. And he can cross a little bit. He can barely shoot, as he showed today against Liverpool. Hmm. He had a shot from, I don't know, 12 yards or 12 to 15 yards out on the right-hand side. It was almost a throw-in on the left-hand side.
Yeah, He went to the Yannick Bolasie school of shooting.
Exactly. Except he's right-footed. Who knows? Yeah,
maybe that's the problem. You figured it out.
He wears two.
It's the Tristan Thompson of soccer.
Ooh, exactly. That's a great analogy.
Coming from the Cavs guys.
I was about to say. Yeah, how's LeBron James? How's LeBron James doing PR wise in Cleveland?
Today, fine. A month ago, I'm not so sure.
But anyway, on the Man City side, would you trust David Silva this week? I know you guys are, trying to. I think you guys have said you're going to shy away from a lot of the City options, but David Silva, particularly on Mondragon, has had a ton of value recently. The prices have been adjusted, so would you trust David Silva if he was, let's say if he was the fifth or sixth most expensive midfielder?
No.
At fifth or sixth, you're kind of looking at him in that Raheem Sterling, Oscar range. And I think he's too good to pass up in that range.
All right. So we have some dissent there. I like that. I would say no, but I am also extraordinarily biased. So I'm not going to try to pretend that I have no Chelsea allegiance there. But Chris, why would you say no?
Because if you're going to put him in that Raheem Sterling bracket, I'd rather have Sterling. I think Sterling's more opportunistic in that Liverpool offense than Silva's going to be this week.
Especially if he's still that false nine. I would agree with that 100%.
So who scored? So does City score?
I think City's chances of scoring are less than Liverpool's.
Yeah, I'm so incredibly biased, but I do believe that both teams score.
So then who would it be? Who scores for City?
Aguero.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah, I would have Aguero as well.
Yeah. Don't forget about Aguero. Yeah, yeah. You know, he's pretty good.
Been a while since he scored.
That's true, but he does have a habit to score against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So we'll move on, though, to the Sunday game. The first day of February, it's Arsenal at home against Aston Villa. This is the second most mismatched matchup, in my opinion. However, with most like for the DraftKings game that we're going to talk about in a little bit, you can't really take advantage because it's on the Sunday. It's not on the Saturday. You can't use any of the guys. But if you are playing in a league or in a weekly format that does take Saturday and Sunday, you have to like all Arsenal options. And we'll start with our Arsenal homeboy here with Andrew.
Yeah, offensive and defensive. Take them all.
Is there a particular defensive option that you would take more than the others? I know you ranked Koscielny, but...
Yeah, none of them do, you know, Kieran Gibbs, you know, moves up. It's unclear who they're going to play at right back. Callum Chambers has been there. Hector Bellerin has actually been so much better than Chambers that it wouldn't be surprising if he started, but none of them get involved offensively enough. So you kind of, you know, then they're the same value as the center backs, which are Koscielny and Mertesacker. So, you know, those two will score on a header every so often. But the clean sheet is obvious in this one.
Yeah. And I'll ask both of you this question because, you know, it took some convincing to get me to rank Santi Cazorla. I know he's been their best player.
Outrageous.
I know you think it's outrageous. Coquelin is likely to be in the lineup. That takes another midfield spot away. And Alexis takes out another one. And so there's only three left. And there are so many names to plug in. Do you not fear the rotation for Arsenal? And Chris, I'll start with you.
I think he's playing himself into the rotation. I think he's been probably, outside of Sanchez, their second best player. I can't see how you take him out at this point.
It's exactly what I was going to say. He's playing right now, you cannot take him out.
So...
I think you end up seeing him play in 60 minutes, and in 60 minutes, he's still good enough. That's my opinion. If you end up going rotation, someone comes in for him, but he's still got more opportunity than everybody else, you're going to say.
Well, when everyone's healthy, which granted for Arsenal is never because something's wrong with that training staff. But, you know, you have Ozil, Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Wilshere, Ramsey. That's five for three spots.
And how many are you putting above Cazorla?
I mean, considering that how much they paid for Ozil and, you know, his talent level, I think he's more talented than Cazorla, so I'd put him there. I would, you know, same thing goes. I mean, Theo Walcott, when he's healthy, looks really good. I also love speed. And Santi Cazorla doesn't have a ton of it, and Theo Walcott has more than enough. And, you know, and then you have to have another guy who can play centrally pretty well. You know, so I would say you'd have to put in one of the, like either Wilshere or Ramsey, particularly Ramsey, who's shown that he can play very well at the Premier League level. I mean, those three are the ones that I look at in my head, that the ones that I would play. But then again, you know, I'm only one person. I understand that I may just have a negative bias towards Santi Cazorla because he does well and I don't like Arsenal too much. But
I don't think the only possibility of him coming out is for Ozil at this point. And with Ozil being out for so long and Cazorla playing so well right now, there's no reason to bench Cazorla for Ozil. Like kind of like Chris said, you could play Cazorla for 65 minutes and let Ozil run around for 30, and then, you know, that's your way of keeping him fit. And then as soon as Cazorla starts to struggle, then you can switch him out. But for how he's playing right now and playing home against Aston Villa, he could play 45 minutes and probably have a bigger impact than most guys.
All right. You did convince me. I did rank him. But I'm just saying it did take convincing because I do fear that rotation. And I'm going to be looking for like the first instance of him not playing well or the first stretch of play that he doesn't play well. And then I want to see how Wenger reacts. So where it's going to happen at some point.
Where do you rank him if you know he plays 90?
If I know that he plays 90, you know, consistently?
Like, this week.
This week, if he plays 90, I would say he's a top 8, top 9.
So you put him ahead or behind Stuart Downing?
Right, it's right at that level.
That level.
It's personal preference at that point.
Do you like him less than David Silva?
I do like him less than David Silva, even this week.
Okay.
David Silva's the focal point of that offense. I don't agree that he's the focal point of the Arsenal offense. Okay. I know he has been recently. I just don't see it on a consistent basis. I don't know why. I might be alone here. I may not watch enough Arsenal football.
You're not my
people. All right, fine. we could spend all podcasts about how I'm wrong, but I still finished first on Mondo goal, and I don't think you have.
Right. I have, actually. It was in the summer, though. Or last season, excuse me. I want to show.
Well, that's ancient history. No, I'm kidding. I hate when facts get in the way of things. But Southampton are at home in the last game of the weekend against Swansea City. Is it a mismatch? And Chris, I'll start with you. Is this a mismatch game where you would start almost all Southampton options?
I'm starting all Southampton options. I think Swansea without Boney look lost. Both ends. I don't think they can control the ball enough, and Southampton are going to get theirs. And I don't see Swansea scoring. I know I liked Gomis early, but not against the Southampton defense at home.
And Andrew, what about you?
I completely agree. I'm kind of curious why neither of you like James Ward-Prowse this week in your rankings.
I love James Ward-Prowse. I just like Tadic better because he may score a goal.
Why do you only need one?
Ward-Prowse to me it's tough because that midfield for Southampton starting to get a little clogged, right? And Ward-Prowse is a bargain bin guy for me all day, but I think there's 15. I have him at 16 and 17 with Elia.
Yeah, I like all three, to be honest with you. I just had a tough time ranking three Southampton midfielders out of 15.
At home against... So you're perfectly fine with the Chelsea trio, home against Manchester City, but you won't do it for Southampton.
I never said I wasn't biased, guys. I have no problem pointing out my biases. Yeah. It's just that's my bias. I do love James Ward-Prowse. I was a big believer of his even in the preseason. You remember?
Yep.
He was one of my players to watch,
got hurt.
That's exactly right. Like many of the players I said to watch beginning the season, they got hurt.
Yeah.
Most famously, Christian Benteke.
And he never returned.
He really hasn't. It was since before the World Cup started. I said Christian Benteke has the most to gain from the World Cup financially and professionally. He has not basically played since.
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll go to our daily dose here. So we did DraftKings this week. People have gotten sick of my bragging about Mondo goals, so they changed it up to a format that I do traditionally terribly. So, Andrew, I will start with your defense and your goalkeeping options first.
I kind of went bargain here as much as I could. So I went with Ben Foster and Andre Wisdom combo. Foster, I believe, is the cheapest starting goalkeeper on Saturday, excuse me. Somehow he's cheaper than Robert Green. But then I combine them with Philippe Wolscheid from Stoke, who's now starting there for 3,200.
Wolscheid? Yeah, something like that.
I'll take your word for it.
Yep.
But that's
I have watched the Stoke game with him in it, so I believe that's what it was.
Oh, there you go.
But Chris, what about you?
Well, I also went with Wolfschild. I think that $3,200 for a home match against QPR is much too enticing. But I went with Pantamillion at home against Burnley for my keeper and Phil Jones as my other defender against Leicester City.
Yeah, I'm actually with Chris I did not double up on goalkeeper and defense. I did no volatility this week. I'm doing a different strategy on DraftKings because my strategy has not worked so far this year, so I'm trying something completely different. So I spent a decent amount of my money here on my defense and my goalkeeping, which is something that I traditionally never do. So I went with David De Gea as my goalkeeper at 5,600, Leighton Baines at 5,500, and Kieran Trippier at 5,300.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, I know. Pretty much unheard of for me. But I am very in on Leighton Baines this week, so I'm just showing my faith there. And I have a lot of offensive production capability from my defenders, and I have the biggest mismatch on Saturday, and he's at home for David De Gea, so I feel like I have a good chance for a clean sheet there. And tell me I'm crazy. I'm pretty sure you're going to, but tell me I'm crazy for investing this much in my defense.
You're crazy. Does that leave you enough to play yourself at midfield, or where does that leave you?
I will actually start with my midfield right now, actually. So I have Jason Puncheon at 5,500, and I'm something, again, I tend to tell people not to do is to fall into the Wilfried Zaha trap, am this week. Wilfried Zaha at 4,000. So that's where I say it's my money, is in the midfield. And we'll get to the flex and the forwards later, but who are your two midfield options, Chris?
I went with Philippe Coutinho at 6,500 and Victor Moses at 5,500.
So you liked Moses at 5,500 more than Puncheon at the same price?
Yes. Yeah, I think Moses has to become the feature for that Stoke City attack, and home against QPR, it's not going to get much better. Whereas Puncheon, I still think Dwight Gayle can score some goals for them.
So I have a funny feeling that Andrew picked Jason Puncheon, but go ahead, Andrew. Who are your two midfielders?
I did not go with Puncheon, actually.
Oh, I was incorrect.
I'm glad Chris is here. I also went with Moses. I kind of wanted to play that QPR at home. I think Puncheon's a fine call. And maybe because I knew you would probably take him that I went with Moses.
But QPR, yeah. By the way, is on the road. You mean Stoke at home?
I'm sorry. Yes, I like Stoke at home. Playing QPR on the road.
I get it. QPR who was on the road. Right, I get it.
Sorry,
okay.
My fault. And then I combined him with a $7,300 Oscar.
I see. All right. So you all spent some good money there. All right. And Chris, your two forwards and flex.
Well, you guys are going to love this. My forwards are Aguero, and then I went with Defoe at home against Burnley.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. And who is your flex?
My flex is actually I ended up having enough money to put Hazard from midfield in my flex. So.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
How much is Defoe? Aguero?
Defoe is 5,100.
Wow. That's nice. I was waiting. Mike, why don't you do your forwards? Because I have a suggestion since you have no money left.
That's not true. I spent a decent amount of money here. I have Sato Berahino at 7,600, and I have Andy Carroll at 8,000. And I don't think that's terrible. And I have Raheem Sterling at my flex at 8,200.
Wow, Mr. Never have a midfielder in his flex.
He's playing the false nine. So he's playing effectively as a striker. He gets midfield credit for points too, may I add.
So you chose Berahino over Lukaku.
I did.
You chose him over...
Knowingly.
Yep.
By the way, I did debate that one.
You chose him over Diafra Sakho.
Yes, because I don't know what his time split with Ener Valencia may be.
You took him over Danny Ings.
I was very tempted with Danny Ings. Very tempted.
Okay.
I considered Lukaku for about 0.5 seconds and dismissed him.
Yeah.
And it was between Berahino and Ings.
Okay. I went Ings, Carroll, and Diego Costa.
Yeah, I can't complain about any three of those guys.
I have $600 left, so I theoretically could get Rooney or Aguero.
Yeah.
Or Van Persie or Harry Kane, but instead of Costa, but I think I'll stay with what I have.
Yeah, and I was looking at my flex options, because I had 300 left. So my flex options, if I go down the list here, would be Radamel Falcao, not touching that. Yaya Toure, not playing. And then it's Raheem Sterling, and then everyone else is less expensive. So Edin Dzeko, Steven Jovetic, Boney, who's not going to play, Fabregas, who I considered briefly. And then we get back into Ings and everyone again. So... it really wasn't much of I liked my option there with Sterling, because what Liverpool's played really well, and also Liverpool's at home. That's a key for me. I try to get as many home players as I can. This week I got everyone but three, so I think that's about 60%. I think that's 2/3, but four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, it's 2/3. But you know, home and away does mean something in the Premier League, to me at least. That doesn't mean something to you guys, whether they play at home or they play on the road. Andrew, start with you there.
Well, I'll play Chelsea anywhere. I'll play Man City usually anywhere. Maybe not against each other. Well, yeah, I'm doing it against each other. So, you know, games like that. But so I don't put too much into it in the attacking options. I usually have, you know, fine confidence playing attackers on the road. But defenses, I try to stick to the home guys.
And Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I think home and away, like Andrew said, with the top Chelsea, Manchester City, not as big. But when you start talking about teams like Sunderland or Burnley or QPR, there's a big difference home and away. And those are guys I probably wouldn't touch on the road.
Mm. All right. So between the three of us, I feel that I have the worst team. So congratulations, you guys. I appreciate the humbling. So Chris, thank you so much for joining us this week. It's really been a pleasure. It's really been a lot of fun. Hope you get to come back soon.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Good luck in EFSA this week. And hope to hear a lot from you guys shortly in the future. And for all of you guys, thank you again for listening to this episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We will catch you again next week for Match Week 24 and some extra fun. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.